Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Ask, Father, even as we listen to your word that you speak to our hearts. Father, I thank you for utterance. I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. I thank you for eyes that see and ears that hear. So yes, the eyes of our understanding are flooded with light this morning. Thank you for, yes, we receive that which you are saying to us as individuals and as a corporate in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For we are helped of you. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. Go ahead, give somebody a welcome as you have your seat. God bless you, Hill City. Thank you so much. Amen. If you are cold, say amen. You are cold? And I know what to do about that. Amen. God is good. Just be waving your hand. Just wave to Jesus. You're not waving. The people that say that they're cold, wave to Jesus first. Don't look at me. Close your eyes. Wave to Jesus. Lift the other hands. Wave. Wave now. Is your hand too heavy? Amen. Are you sweating small? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have anti-cold as believers. Amen. God is good. Welcome to church. Those joining us online, thank you for being with us till now. God bless you. Thank you. God is said to do us good, and he has been doing us good. Hallelujah. You know, one thing that I tell myself and the Lord reminds me, tells me is that it's a service. It's a service. It's good to do your planning, you know, do all the things that needs to be done, but it's my service. Do you get that? It's his service. He does what he wants to do in the service. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm always blessed when I come to church and I see the Lord doing what he's doing, or what he wants to do. I'm usually thoroughly blessed. Hallelujah. If you miss the business and leadership course, hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. I was telling Singa who anchored the session. I said, I think that, well, I didn't say the entire thing I'm going to say now, but what I said to him is that I think that this session is actually for me. Literally, that's what I said to him. But what I did not say to him is that if I'm the only person that came, just the teacher, just know that your students have arrived. The person that owns the class have come. That's the part I did not tell him. And I mean it. No, seriously, I mean it. You know that when we're singing the word of God in my mouth, and we are saying it they work. The emphasis is on the word of God in my mouth. You know, when I was just saying it they work, it just came to my heart. It's not the word of God in the Bible. It's not the word of God written in the book you are carrying, you know, in the Bible that we have. It is the word of God, but it is the word of God in your heart, in your mouth. Hallelujah. The word of God in your mouth. God put his word in his mouth. I mean, he knew that he would do stuff and it would happen. He could have waved his hands and, I mean, everything would be created. Not so. It'd be these things. There's a reason why he put his word in his mouth. He said it. He could have done any other thing. He could have blinked. I mean, he's God, isn't he? And these things will happen. I mean, I believe. But he's trying to teach us that it is the word in your mouth. That is what works. So the word of God in your mouth, you walk. Amen. Amen. Pastor Murphy will share that story that when he used to go for hospital visitations, he would see a lot of people with their Bibles on their pillows, under their pillows. And if I come to your pillow now, I could see some Bible there. Praise the Lord. And that's not bad. But you see, the beautiful thing is that being under your pillow makes it easy to access. So why don't you just take it off under the pillow and open it? Put the word of God in your mouth. That's what God said to Joshua. He said, this book of the law should not depart from where? Your mouth. That's the instruction he gave to him. Meditate on it day and night. Observe to do everything that is written in it. That way, you will make your way prosperous. And you have what? Good success. Because every success is not good. Hallelujah. So, but we put it in our mouths. In our mouths. We're talking church. Say amen to that. Amen. We hear the word and we talk it. We're talking church. We love church and we're talking church. We believe the word of God and we speak it. So when we face issues, we know to speak. We know what to say. Hallelujah. We know what works. We know what works. So by now we know that shouting and calling neighbors is not what works. Not so. Looking for destiny helper is not what works. What works is what? The word of God in your mouth. That's so powerful, isn't it? And it's amazing that every situation you will ever face in life has an answer in the scriptures. You just have to find it and put it on your lips. My God. That's all. Say it until it is written in your heart that even when you wake up, you say, I'm fruitful. Hallelujah. God's good. It's so amazing. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word. Thank you, Lord. I've started my message because the message is the word. Amen. It's the word of God. So, you know, it's not preamble. We have started. Praise the Lord. Last week, we've been on tour as the team. And last week, we were talking about letting go of weight. We remember letting go of weight. And that blessed me a lot. That blessed me a lot. That blessed me a lot. You see, sometimes we're waiting for God's time. But God is waiting for us to be ready. So God's time is when we are ready. You hear what I said? His time is that now you have understood what he said you should do. You are doing it and you are ready. You've availed yourself for him to pour out what he wants to pour out. It's not like God wants something. Time he has, you know, written somewhere. And you are sitting somewhere waiting for the day to come so that that thing will happen. There is the thing that you are doing. Everything that God wants to do on earth, there is a manward path. There is a Godward path, there is a manward path. He always wants, he said, we are co-partners. But most times we don't, you know, we stay and wait for God to do all of the parts. And then things keep getting delayed and, you know, not happening at the rate we want or we expect it to happen. Hallelujah. God is on your side. God is on your side. God is on your side. Hallelujah. So I was saying last week, we said lay aside weights because the Lord has said this is our season. We are soaring. And I want to say this very, 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 I want you to be intentional about what God is doing so you know to step out of your comfort zone. Know to step back to school. This is how I've done it. This is how we've been doing it. This is how it has been working. Question is, what will the Holy Ghost have you do now? You understand that? So we must be open to those things, to the leading of the Spirit, that this is what he wants us to do right now. Hallelujah. God is good. So I was making reference to flights last week about how that there is the weight, if you're traveling, you are allowed to carry, you know. So, and then somebody graciously told me that it's not the destination, it's a flight. So thank you. Thank you. So people that were laughing at me, thank you. I've learned now. Praise the Lord. So anyway, point is, when you are traveling, there is the, you know, the minimum or maximum you should carry that is free for you, right? So when it exceeds that, you have to pay if available. Praise the Lord. So, but the point is, if you know the maximum you should carry, you are planning what you have to fit into what can be created. What you want to fly, you want to soar. So today I'm talking on how to wait on the Lord, basically waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. So that's the topic I want to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, my mic, thank you. Is still humming, please. I want to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, do talk about today, waiting on the Lord. Who has ever had to wait on the Lord? Hallelujah. Some people have not waited on the Lord. Ah! Amen. Praise God. You know, it's beautiful to wait on the Lord. It's really a beautiful experience when we have to wait on the Lord. Of course, people wait on for different things, right? There are things that are not a challenge for A. Just move on with it. In fact, you didn't even know to wait on it, right? Then when it's a challenge, you know. But one thing that we don't do well is that we don't know that since this person is not their challenge and I'm not waiting, we're not in the same category. So that you're not waiting on this situation because this topic doesn't mean I should not wait. There are other areas I won't even know I should wait that you will need to wait. That's the way life is. So I like to say it this way, if there is a challenge, solve it. What do I mean? If there is a challenge, a particular thing you are facing, stay with the Lord and solve it. Do you understand? Don't look to the left or to the right or what any other person is doing. This problem needs an attention. Not so. I need a way out. I need something to be done about this. Lord, what are we doing about it? Stay there until you solve it. Do you get that? Stay there until you get the answer. Stay there until you let the Lord say to you, yes, wait. All right? Praise God. God is good. Okay, so I got a bit ahead of myself there, but let's just take it up as fast as possible. So I want to say, first of all, that waiting is not wasting. Waiting is not wasting. You know, when you look at the, I'm not want to do the Hebrew and all that, but I'll do it today. The Hebrew word for waiting or waiting on the Lord is kava. Kava. You know, when we say we kava until we are formed, is that we are waiting until we are formed. We are waiting until we are formed. So just like, what's the meaning of kava? So you see that it says to wait, to hope actively. But most importantly is that, like, you are intertwining a rope. So there is the coming together there. You take a rope and you are putting it together. You are intertwining it, right? That is what it means to wait on the Lord. You are seated and you are in tune. You are thinking yourself, wrapping yourself around the Lord, basically around the word of God. Do you understand that? So that is what it means that you cover. You are seated or you are waiting. You just take on those words that pertain to the reason why you want to wait, and you begin to tie it to yourself. You begin to tie it to yourself. You stay there hoping actively, trusting. I think that's a better word, trusting actively. You know, when you go to a restaurant, and a good restaurant, I want to add, and you see waiters. Waiters don't sit down dozing off. Right? As soon as you take a table, they are looking for the menu to get to you. You are taking the menu, they are attentive, they are waiting to hear what is it you want to say, what is it you want to order. Not so. When you order, they take your order to go prepare and get it back for you. So waiting is like that waiter who is attentive or attentively waiting for an order. So when you are waiting, you are expecting an order. Do you understand? You are not just waiting. You are expecting an order. You are expecting an instruction. You are expecting an insight. You are expecting the one you are waiting on to say something to you. What does that mean? If you've not received any word from the Lord, it's not time to go and sleep. If you're waiting, you say, "Ah, Lord, I'm waiting on you on this matter." If you've not received an instruction, you've not received, "Oh, okay, do this, oh, go there, oh, call there," you stay till you hear the person you're waiting on say, "I want fried rice and chicken." Right? You would stay. You will not say, "This one is not serious. You now go and sleep. Let me go and take a nap." You won't do that. Why? You're a good waiter. You're a good waiter. Hallelujah. You know, it was Corrie ten Boom that said that we should not be afraid to trust the unknown future with a known God. There are things that you don't that on in life. You know, I say that God is a constant. The variables are variables. God's constant. There are a lot of things that we don't know. I was saying in the midweek service, sometimes I say life is not an easy place. It's not like life is so easy. Whether you are in Jesus or you are not, life is not easy. But that you are in Christ, you have the life of Christ, makes it easy for you, makes it easier for you. Because it doesn't mean you will not face any challenges, right? It doesn't mean you will not have any issues. It just means that you are facing it with Jesus. You are going through that fire with Jesus. So you have an assurance that you are not going to be burnt. You have an assurance that you are not going to be swallowed up by the storms of life. But you are going to experience those things. So no, life is not a bed of roses. It isn't. It isn't. So at every point in time in our lives, we intentionally sit and wait on the Lord. And I like to say this, most times we wait till we have problems to wait on the Lord. Problems should not be the prompters to our waiting on the Lord. You know why? The word of God is right there. It forms, it's alive, it's active, it is sharp. It can produce in us what it talks about. So how about we see it and wait on the Lord for 7 days, not because it's a challenge, is that I want to take the word of God and tie it in myself, tie it on myself. That is, you know, like I was explaining, and intertwine it like a rope on myself. I just want to sit down and just stay at the master's feet and learn from him. That is waiting on the Lord. And you know the good news? You will hear him say, you will hear him say to you, you have a response. You have another. If we practice this, it is easier to receive answers when there's a challenge. Amen? So if you only go to wait on Lord when there's a challenge, it will take you time to get into it. Or if you're a person that always takes that time, you know, once in a while, just say, okay, for the next 5 days, I'm just when everybody's asleep and just sit before the Lord, open my Bible and read and just ask the Lord, what would you have me do? What is your thought? What is your heart? What do you want me to do? And just keep asking him that. Right? He will tell you. Hallelujah. He will. You have another. Learn to trust God who knows the future. He is the known God. He's the God you know. But you don't know tomorrow. You don't know what's going to come. You don't know what's going to happen. So we stay with God because he's the one that will prepare us for the unknown future. Praise God. He's the one that will prepare us for the things ahead. Every season of waiting is God's classroom for your next season of sorrowing. Every season of waiting is God's classroom for your next season of sorrowing. Hallelujah. There's a classroom. The Lord prepares us for the next season, like he's preparing us now. He's preparing us now. Listen, one thing that has been in my heart is this. You see, as a people, God is calling us to sit and wait and hear him speak. You see, if I call someone now, maybe I should even do that. Okay, let me have two people come up. I didn't plan to do that, so maybe I'll just use my diary. Quickly, please. Okay. So what you're going to do for me, I'm going to leave this book out there. So you go and find it. Do you get? You go and just go and find the book, right? So turn like this. No, you're wearing koi koi. Yeah, that's her now. Okay. So just go and look for that book, wherever it is. Find it, wherever. Go. Yeah, come, not you. Praise the Lord. See, that's how life is. Once we are done with school, most times we hurry up. Employments. I want to get admission. The person that achieved this thing is like, God bless you. I mean, I cannot move around this side. Praise the Lord. We run off. We have to do stuff. God gives you an idea. I mean, just give me capital. You just run off. You start meeting people. You start telling people, I'm not into this business. You start doing stuff. But look at it. He would need to be asking, do you know where it is? Do you know where it is? Help me with this. For somebody who tarried, he went first, didn't he? He left first. I started to try to find it. But somebody waited behind. And God, this is the way. Go in it. So he didn't have to start turning around. Is it there? Is it with you? He went straight to where it is and picked it up. That is why we cover. That is why we wait. Hallelujah. That is why we wait. That is why we wait. See, God did not call us to be, you know, you call A, oh, I don't have it. You call B, it's not working. You call C, he knows what works. He knows the future. He can tell you, go there. Just go left. Go straight. Turn left. Turn right. When we did our boost leadership, we had a funny game here. I was laughing. I laughed. And they would tie somebody's eyes and then put something somewhere and then ask the people to instruct the person on the way to go until you arrive at where it is. Ah, what betide you if your enemy is there? They'll tell you, turn 360. Squat down, big pain. But you see, when we were going to end, the last person just said, I'm not going to move until I receive an express instruction. Because everybody said, no. Oh, yeah, go forward. You are going. No, you have missed it. Turn left. You have missed it and you are in the left. No. Okay, turn right. You are wondering, are you? But somebody said, everybody's talking. I'm going to wait until there's a clear instruction what to do. Scripture says there are many voices in this world. And every one of them, not one of them is without significance. So every one of them is saying something, taking your attention. So you want to wait. It is in waiting that we distill and hear the voice that we should follow. Because my sheep hear my voice. So it's not that I'm not talking. The shepherd is talking. But are we going to wait to distill and take away, you know, just let those other voices go so we can hear what he's saying? Again, that is why we cover. The Lord will lead you in the path of righteousness. He will lead you in the path of righteousness. He will lead you. He will lead us. So you see, soaring is our destination. Not so. God has promised us soaring. But you see, a train will have to taxi on the runway first before it does what? Takes off. A plane. What did I say? Thank you. A plane. I meant a plane. Sorry. A plane will have to taxi on the runway before it takes off. So I say again, soaring is your destiny, is your destination, is you going up. But that runway is your waiting. That is what you have to do. The taxiing is what you must do. Because if you don't taxi, you are not soaring. If you don't wait on the Lord, you can't soar. Say to somebody, I wait on the Lord. I wait on the Lord. I wait on the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Waiting is your wrong way. Just as a plane is, waiting is your wrong way. Then soaring is where you are going. It's already what God has promised. Hallelujah. Friends, there's a reason why chickens don't soar. They don't fly. They just stay and do what? And be pitching on the ground. And there's a reason. Isaiah 40:31, I believe it is, was linking us to eagles. You see, all believers are not meant to be groveling on the floor and trying to be scratching through the soil to get stuff. That is why the only place your eyes are allowed to stay is above. You are not looking on the floor. The chicken will have to look on the floor. Stay there and be just. But you are allowed to stay. Keep your eyes stayed on the Lord. Stayed on the Lord. That staying is waiting. That staying is waiting. Hallelujah. There is a difference between paying somebody a visit frequently and living with somebody. Don't you think so? Hallelujah. So I could visit you, maybe Mama Hope, now every day I come to your house. In the evening I say, Ma, let me go. And maybe 5 times a week I did that, right? You say, Pastor Sisom is visiting me what? Frequently. But you will not say I dwell in your house. But it is he that dwelleth in the secret place that abides under the shadow of the Almighty, under the guiding of the Almighty, under the protection, the leading of the Almighty. Praise God forevermore. So it is good to look through scripture. Sometimes we read. Yes, we open the Bible and we read. Some of us visit the Bible very often. But how about we dwell in it? How about we dwell on it? How about we dwell on it? Hallelujah. We stay there. Every moment you have a scripture in your heart you are thinking of. You have a scripture in your mind you are thinking about. No, I'm talking about you don't have a problem, but you're just waiting on the master. What is he about to say? What does he want you to do? Or are we running off trying to get things done? After all, we know what to do. We have experience, don't we? We have good guys we can call upon. I can call on Jedi. She will answer me. She can feel borrow me something. Do you understand? I can call on this person. They will come to my... Okay, take this. I can call on this person. I can call on that person. And call every other person. But the provider, but the Jireh, the helper. And then maybe Benjamin just said, Pastor Sisom, I just wanted to have this 50,000. God bless you, God bless you. And then the next 1 month, I have need of 50,000. Where's Benjamin's number? You start praying, Lord, should I call Benjamin? No. Do you understand? That's what we do. Somebody helps you. You need another help. You are looking for, when I had the need the other time, is this person? This person is not my destiny helper. Every helper, you go to that person, neglecting your helper. And then when the person now says, I'm sorry, I'm unable to help you now, you are devastated. Because you're not be saying, I know you can help me. You just don't want to help me. No, the helper said, don't help. Don't help. And people you know that can help you with stuff. Well, why are they helping you with it? Jordan, sweet, take your eyes out of that person. Take it back to the helper. Take it back to God. Take it back to God. Jesus was carrying the cross. Where was he looking? He could have been looking at his disciples. I've raised you guys. I have some 72 men that should be able to stand in and fight. Do you understand? And fight my cause, at least be there. But no, his eyes were completely on the Lord. But you see, he was able to keep his eyes on the Lord because he waited. He spent time waiting. When you don't wait, when emergency comes, immediately where your faith and your trust is revealed. It's revealed. So we now know, is it that ogre? Is it that uncle? Is it that customer? Is it that client? It's revealed. Jesus waited Jesus waited. He waited. He sweated blood waiting. Hallelujah. He sweated blood waiting. So we should wait too. And the beautiful thing about it is that there's no area in your life that is that waiting does not come in play. Be it ministry, parenting. I mean, you can wait on the Lord for your child. You can wait on the Lord for your husband. I believe there are things that should not even come up as arguments between husband and wife. Do you understand? There are things, if two of you are believers, you disagree with something, there are things you don't even have to bring up because you disagree with them. You know why? It's a three-cord fold. There is a guy you can go and talk to, and there won't be disagreement. So if you know that if I just bring this up with my husband or with my wife, it will, you know, problem go there. Listen to it. Or probably told him, he won't listen. You split and he won't listen. It's no time to start causing trouble. You know, I've been telling you. See, God just... Tell God, see God, this is your son. See what he is doing. Can you help me deal with this? Talk to God about it. You can wait on the Lord and say, my husband is missing it. My wife is not, she's missing it. Or my wife is, she needs help. She's so overwhelmed with work, overwhelmed with stuff. She doesn't even have time for you, Lord. I don't like it. You wait on the Lord until the Lord comes true. And he will. And he will. The Lord has put things in your hands. See, stay there and ask God, Lord, why is this thing going south? Don't wait till he dies. I don't mean that every business you start up with, you know, will do well. But find out why it is not doing well. Do you understand? Why is it not doing well? You, believer, the life of Jesus at work in you, the Holy Lord in you, and it's not working. No. Why? It's only a season of staying in a, you know, in a particular level. It's not like every day we are on the step. We are climbing upstairs. Even when they build a step, when you climb the higher one, you wait. Don't be so. You take another step, you wait. You take another, except you are running up the step, of which after you are finished, you're deciding what. There's a reason it is like that. Praise the Lord. There's a reason it's like that. You are driving a car, you don't just start and be moving uphill without, you know, changing gears. There's that break. There's always that break in life. There's always that break in life. If you are going up a hill, you are increasing the, what do you call it? The acceleration. Yes. You are increasing. You are increasing. Because if you don't, it will start doing what? Back. That accelerating in waiting on the Lord. There is a journey ahead of you. There is the journey you are taking. And you don't want to go back. It's like pulling a boulder up a mountain. And then suddenly you are tired. You can't leave it. Even you are at risk. Do you understand? A big boulder, you're pulling it up the mountain. It's almost there. And suddenly, I can't do this anymore. And you leave it. Brethren, just as you're leaving it, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know what to say to you, but don't even do it. When you are waiting on God for anything at all, even if it's, I want to see your face, Lord. See, if you are turning your back, if you are saying, I'm tired, you're just saying, Satan, come and grow weeds everywhere. The one you have waited is becoming a waste. Yes. The one you have waited, okay, you have not gotten to where you are going to, but you are now tired going back. What is happening there? I don't think I can do this anymore because this farming thing is too hard. I'll just go. When I come back, when will I meet there? Plenty of weeds will be there again. Plenty of weeds will be there. See, what I'm saying, I know what I'm saying. When you stop waiting, your heart begins to receive negative feedbacks because you now begin to tell yourself it didn't work. Oh, something happened. It didn't work. That went wrong. It's because I did it that way. It didn't happen. But no, you didn't even wait. You didn't wait to the full. You didn't wait fully. Hallelujah. But we're people that wait on the Lord and we wait strong. We wait strong. Chapter 40. Thank you for Isaiah 40:31. Are we there? Okay. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord shall, as a matter of fact, renew their strength. Why? When you're waiting on the Lord, there are things that are sapping your energy. There are things that are taking from you. Hallelujah. You are waiting on the Lord. If it's a challenge, it's draining you. But you are waiting on the Lord. There is a promise of the Father that you will renew your strength. You will renew your strength. It's Jamal. Who shall who wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When the eagles, think about it, why will he use an eagle? Why will he use an eagle? Amen. Hallelujah. Why will he use an eagle? You know, eagles are not afraid of storms. Eagles are not afraid of storms. Eagles are not afraid of storms. I say again, eagles are not afraid of storms. Are you afraid of storms? You know that why they are not is that this is our time to soar. This is the very thing that helps us take off. This is the very thing that helps us get beyond our capacity, our strength. The storms. You know, it's not different for us. It is not different for us. After Jesus, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it is, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, yes, let me get there. Hebrews 12, 2, talking about Jesus, after he had, after he despised the shame, endured the cross, yes, that's it. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. He didn't run away from the storm. When he got to his flesh, he was wondering, what should I do? He said, still, not my will, but your will. This is a storm. I know the end is that there's a joy ahead of me. There's a name I'm going to be given. Is that I'm doing the Father's will, that the Father will be glorified in my doing this. So every other thing didn't matter. He didn't let it distract him or let the pain, the weight deter him from soaring. He soared regardless. He went through the whole pain. He went through the whole process. Hallelujah. And now the Bible says he is seated. I want to say to you, scripture says that sorrows may last for the night. Pain may last for the night. Issues can last for the night. But you see, joy cometh. There is no place in scripture. The Bible does not tell us that people come, you know, start facing challenges and they go through it, you know, forever. No, there is always a dawning of a dark night. Hallelujah. Job, in all that he went through, it's not like it was the whole of his life. That was about like 9 months, right? How many months? A few months. I think it's about 9 months. Job went through all of that we know that he went through. For everything he experienced, joy came, didn't it? Joy came. It's beautiful that the Bible will tell us that we have not even, you know, we have not started bleeding blood. We've not endured to the point of shedding blood. Thank you. We've not endured to the point that we are now shedding blood. Because he did. He did. But what I'm saying is that thing you are enduring, there is the dawning of the day. There is nothing you are facing that should last forever. Amen. I'm saying there is nothing you are experiencing that should last forever. There is no challenge that should last forever. Because scripture says those things, those sorrows only last for a night. For a night. For a night. For a night. So if it has exceeded night, it's not entering morning. Somebody is not waiting. Do you understand? Somebody is not waiting. There is a night times and there are the day times. There are the day times. And the Lord always tells you, see what is going on. I believe that with all of my heart. The word of God works. The word of God works. So every area of our lives where we're not seeing it work, that is the part where you will stay there. Because you want to get an understanding. See, know why it is not working. Praise the Lord. Know why it is not working. That should be your Lord. I want to understand, what am I missing? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to know about this? Stay there until you understand why it is not happening or why it is failing. I was having a conversation with my sister when we were coming back from Pastor Ken's burial. I said, see, some people they think they are standing in faith, but they're no longer standing in faith. Yes. You think you are in faith, but you're no longer standing in faith. You're no longer standing in faith. My mom, for example, is a person that, you know, she has known the Lord for so long that she has gotten used to it. She has gotten used to God. It's a concern for me. But point is, if she's feeling sick now, maybe she has this challenge on her leg, and you are telling her, mommy, how is it doing? Like, you want to pray. You want to deal with it. Just ask her, how are you feeling? How is it happening? It has finished. Everything has finished. It has stopped. Nothing is happening to me again. She will tell you that everything is fine. She will lend faith. That's what she's doing. No, well, I'm good. Everything is fine. And then tomorrow, if you tell her to go and drink this one because of her leg, she will start considering it. Do you understand that? So you are thinking you are standing in faith, because for her, she's standing in faith. I believe that God will heal me. She believes it with all of her heart. God will heal me. God will heal me. Yes, God will heal me. If you tell her, okay, there's this drug for arthritis, she will run and go and take it. I'm not against drugs, understand me. But I'm saying that it is not about you saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. It is your action that shows that you believe. I said it is your reaction when challenges come that show where your trust is. That show where your trust is, where your faith is. Many of us are like that. Many of us are like that in certain areas in our lives. In certain areas in our lives, we will have done everything before we remember. Let's just fast and pray. Let's just wait on God for something. Let's just wait. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore. God is good. Hallelujah. So I want to just say a few things that I believe that we can do while we wait. We can do while we wait. We can do while we wait. Praise the Lord. Number one. Watch your words. Watch your words. While you wait, watch your words. While you wait, watch your words. Scripture says that, and we'll have what we say. Mark 11, 23 down to 24. See that there. You say yes to this mountain and believe that which you say it, and believe without a doubt in your heart. Scripture says you will have that which you say. If you say it and you believe that it will happen, you will have what you say. You will have what you say. You will have what you say. Watch your words when you are waiting. Your words must sync with your prayers. Your words must sync with your prayers. Your conversations is not different from your words. Amen. The things you say when you're on your knees should not be different from what you say when you are chatting or gisting or trying to tell somebody what you're going through. If you're waiting on the Lord, every word that comes out of your mouth must be in sync with the word or your prayers, what you're expecting. The book of the Lord must not depart from your mouth. We see that in Joshua 1:8. Okay, yes. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Look, 23, please. Let me read that correctly. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. It is true that the words you speak, I was saying to somebody, it begins to penetrate your heart and begin to take root in your heart and begin to germinate to bring forth what you are saying. So as you are saying, it is taking root in your heart. What is it doing? As it's taking root in your heart, it begins to germinate to bring forth the fruit of your harvest. Whether you are speaking for you or are speaking against you. Hallelujah. Whether they are speaking for you or against you. So there are many persons who think they are waiting in faith, but their words negate everything they do in their place of waiting. They think they are waiting on the Lord, but yes, in their mind, they are waiting in faith, they will say, but the words they say does not express faith at all. It's like you, after drawing, I draw it, and you clean it again. You draw and you clean it again. You draw and you clean it again. You'll never have a picture. You never have a masterpiece that you want to build. Hallelujah. So ensure, like I read it, I quoted earlier, Joshua 1:8, that the book of the Lord does not ever depart from your mouth. So in your time of waiting, whenever you're waiting on the Lord, probably you're waiting the Lord on something, find every Bible verse that speaks to that. Amen. Find every Bible passage that speaks to that and stay there. Let it enter your heart. Keep it in your mouth. Keep it in your lips. Keep it in your mouth. The word of God is near you in your heart and in your mouth. You keep speaking it forth. Number two, be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Hallelujah. Be patient. I want to read Hebrews chapter 6, 9 to 18. You know, it is through faith and patience that we do what? We obtain the promises of God. There is a place of your faith, and then there is a place of patience. Hebrews 6, 9 to 18. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. This scripture blessed my heart. He says, we are confident of better things concerning you. He says, yes, things that accompany salvation. There are things that accompany salvation. He says, we are confident about these better things concerning you. He says, though we speak in this manner, go ahead. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. It is the one that seeks that finds. God is not unjust. This is Ekoin. God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love. If you stay tarrying in the presence of God, he rewards your waiting. He's not unjust that he wouldn't reward your waiting with his answer, with his presence, with a way out, with a direction, with an instruction, with an order. Hallelujah. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. So you don't get weary. Scripture says, do not be weary in well-doing. Do not be weary in well-doing. Waiting is well-doing. It says you will reap. It's not you might reap. You will reap if you do not faint, if you do not give up. Why would he say that? While you wait, things will come to you that will make you want to give up. While you are waiting on the Lord, there are things that people will say things to you that will make you want to give up. There's something that happened recently, and it's just a funny thing for me because somebody did something. So I was just, my brother said, he was just telling my dad, okay, we'll just keep praying about it. And my father said, my father can be very funny. He said, no, he believes though, that we are praying. Just that sometimes you're praying for somebody. Is this as if you are praying for the person? The person is doing gekanjo. The person is doing the worst. But that's what Jesus faced. He laid his hand on this son of this man. Who was having seizures and was falling into the fire. As soon as Jesus laid his hand on him, scripture said he fell to the ground and began to convulse. He wasn't convulsing before. He now started to manifest, started to shake everywhere, you know. And people were like, he was dead. So sometimes it's that time that you have called upon the name of the Lord. That time you are waiting and you are taking the name of the Lord and you're putting on that thing that it starts to just do like, you don't scatter finish. It will seem like it's getting worse. So I want to encourage you. There's somebody you are praying for. It's like this person, the one I'm praying for this person, like the more this boy is taking, he's even buying two wraps now. Before he used to take one, now he's taking two. Don't give up. It shows that your prayer is working. If a situation gets worse while you are praying, give thanks. You don't understand why. You've caused a shaking now. You've caused something. You've caused a shaking. So the remaining that are inside came out. Do you get that? The remaining inside came out at once because there's been a shaking. Because after they come out and they will, everything, yeah. The man started to do all manner of things, and then that's how he was healed, he was delivered. Or you could have said, Jesus, this one did not work, he's even getting worse. When your disciples prayed, it was not even like this. And you could make a judgment on a journey that is just still on the go. You make a conclusion of a prayer that the answer is dropping. Hallelujah.
God is good. God is good.
So there's that waiting to the full, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises, that you do not become sluggish. You see, I'm saying to you here that is waiting on the Lord for whatever it is you've been waiting on the Lord for. Don't let the devil get you to that part of being sluggish. What does it mean to be sluggish? The word of God that was in your mouth no longer comes out. Somehow you have aligned with the situation. You have adjusted, yes, to the trial. You have adjusted to the situation. It's fine. Lord, what you want to do is, I'm okay. I've accepted it. It's fine. When you want to do it, you do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Hallelujah. You have just accepted that. You have become sluggish. You have become sluggish. But if you believe till the end. We die believing. We are believers. We die believing. We die believing. Let's get to heaven and say to God, Lord, we believed you till the end. We waited on you every day. I was speaking it. I was saying it. I was believing the word. Because I know the word works. I know the word works. I believe till the end. So Lord, what happened? Would you mind telling me? But we believe till the end. We believe to the end. We're not going to go and start helping ourselves. We're not start putting hands where we shouldn't. We're not pack our loads and go and live with the man because it feels like when we do it, we're not marry. No, we won't do that. We won't do that. We won't do that. We'll not get entangled with an unbeliever because our time is passing. We won't do that. We won't do that. We'll not sleep with anybody to get a job because, you know, we've been waiting on the job or we want a promotion. We're not going to lie. We won't take a bribe. We wait on the Lord because promotion comes from the Lord. Increase comes from the Lord. Everything good comes from the Lord. So we wait on the one who has everything good. Goodness is commanded. He is a gift from the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord. So we are not going to try to get it in our own self.
We wait till he gives it to us. And he's a good father. He doesn't withhold good from his children. Oh, he doesn't do that. He said, oh, you fathers, you mothers, you know how to give good gifts to your children. You know how to do that. When they ask you for bread, you don't give them stones. You don't give them serpents when they ask you for fish. How, he said, how much more? How much more in him who there is no shadow of turning? God is a good God. God is a good God. So no, he is not slack in his promises. So we will not be sluggish in waiting on him. We will stay and keep our mouths filled with the word of God, saying what we believe. Saying what we believe, even if it kills us. Be patient. Okay, let me read through. Or, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Go on. Saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. That's a word for somebody. See, when this word came to Abraham, you were in his loins. You were there. You were there. You were there. You were there. You are in Christ now. He says, surely, as a matter of fact, in blessing, I will bless you. So don't go about saying that in your father's compound, in your arboro, in your heritage, what's it called? Generation, in your foundation, that they are not getting money. They used to stop at this level. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. Rubbish. Because in blessing, surely I will bless you. In multiplying, surely I will multiply you. Your forefathers was not even there when these words were said. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he patiently endured, everything that is against our patiently enduring is against our lives, is against our obtaining the promise. It can be a friend giving you a very good advice. Let's go and visit that mama. Let's go and visit the other one. Very kind advice. Very lovely, caring advice. Do you understand? But anything that is against your patiently enduring is against your obtaining the promise. So you fight it. Reject it before it takes root in your heart. Praise the Lord. It says, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is, sorry, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them and end of all dispute. 17. First, God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. 18. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, says that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set. There is a hope set before you. There is a hope. There is an assurance of faith. He said, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Has he said it to you? It is coming to pass. It doesn't matter if it takes a donkey years. It doesn't matter if it takes 1,000 years. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Hallelujah. It is impossible for God to lie. Take that to the bank. So if he can't lie, it is coming to pass. Is that the time? Oh my God. It is impossible for God to lie. See, let everything else fail. God's word will not fail. The only thing you'll be striving is, what are you saying, Lord? As soon as he says it to you, as soon as that scripture jumps at you, it is finished. Hold it like this. So all I know is that God said this to me. God said this to me. God said this to me. Don't be moved. Don't be shaken. Don't let any boisterous storm make you to shake. Don't look at anything else. Keep your eyes where? Fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Soaring is assured. People of God, your soaring is assured. Surely in multiplication I've multiplied you. TCC. He says, surely in blessing I've blessed you. Surely in multiplication I've multiplied you. So just keep your eyes stayed on me, the multiplier, the blesser. Keep your eyes stayed on me. Be patient. Patiently endure. See, God is faithful. God cannot lie. You know we are going to heaven. Amen. You know we are going to heaven, right? We are going to heaven. That is for a fact. We are going home. We are going to heaven. We are going to heaven. And when you think about it, nothing comes, nothing even comes close. So it helps you wait. I mean, if you are waiting to get to heaven, you can't wait for any other thing on this earth. Do you understand? If we are waiting for the hope of his glory, you can wait for anything on earth, this passing earth. We can wait for anything. The word of God works. It is true for you. It is true for you. It's work for you. Listen, put it in your mouth. Verse number three, I said number three here is fight the good fight of faith. Basically, I've been saying on that too. 1 Timothy 6:12, you will see that. Fight the good fight of faith. Galatians 6:9, scripture says, do not be weary. Let us not be weary in doing well, in well doing. It says, because if at the proper time we will reap, if we faint not, if you do not give up. See, the person that gave up is the one who lost. Until you give up, you've not lost anything. You are still in the game. You are still in the game. Until you give up, you've not lost. You've not lost. And that, why is it called the fight of faith? Because what the devil comes after when we are waiting is our faith. He's hoping that, you know, let's just put some unforgiveness in there. Just let that person offend him. Let that person, you just start having, it's a faith battle. It's a battle for your faith. You know that every time you don't wait to the end, or maybe things you expected didn't happen, there is an indictment in your heart. There is a shaking in your faith. It's true now. It's true now, because it's in the Bible like that. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So it's not me that is saying it. It's what the word says. And it's our experience if you think about it. Hallelujah. So don't you think that Satan wants you to have many of that? So that at a point, you just like, I beg, this prayer doesn't work anymore. Prayer doesn't work anymore. They say, let's pray for the sick. The one where we pray for uncle. Do you get? You're not angry with God, like I said last week, but you're not putting out your faith. So, yeah, there's a dart shot at your faith. But we fight the good fight of faith. We fight till the end. We fight till the end. Because there is where we are going. There is where we're going. No, we'll not let the things on earth that we want to get to stop us, you know, from standing in faith. Because, no. We will not do that. We fight the good fight of faith. I'm saying to you, it's a good fight. Fight it. Anything that is your problem is a challenge right now. I'm even bringing it to natural problem right now. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Every year, Anna came to Shiloh. It's the same prayer point. Every year, the same prayer point. Every year, the same prayer point. So the Lord brought her to where he wants him to be. You're no longer going to be afraid of what people say. You're no longer going to be crying about what your co-wife is saying to you. That's not going to, people, I mean, priests, even in this house, a priest will say, you are drunk. But your response matters. So she's not in a place where, no, I'm not drunk. That's not it. We're having something serious here. See the challenge. Hallelujah. Because when you wait, the Lord is purging you. He's purging you. Taking away weights. That's a way to deal with weights. In your waiting, he begins to tell you that, this, that, do this. Take this away. Add this. Subtract that. In your waiting. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Scripture says, be diligent to enter into rest. Look away from circumstances. Look away from the storm. Look away from the storm. You know, like Peter, he forgot for a moment that he was actually walking on water. He forgot because he was walking on water. And started to look at the things that were happening that seemed like, I wasn't getting answers. And then he started to sink. But the good news is that, because sometimes it happens to us, we start to sink. Don't stay in your sinking side. Peter walked on the water back into the boat. No, he did not carry him on his back. He called on Jesus. Jesus held his hand. He said, why are you giving up? You were doing well. Don't be worrying well doing. Stand firm. Stand firm. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. As I'm saying to you today, don't lose heart. Fight it to the end. Fight it to the end. If it's a problem, let's solve it. Let's stop sweeping issues under the carpet. Let's solve it. Let's know what is God saying about that matter. It has lingered. Yes. What is God saying? Do you understand? What is he saying? God is not dumb. He speaks. He can say to you, yes, just wait. There's a reason for it. He may not give you the answer you're expecting, but he will talk to you. So look away from those things that are happening. Those doctor's reports, those letter that weren't very, very pleasing. Look away from all of that and look unto the Lord. Fix your eyes. Keep your eyes stayed on the Lord. That's what Hebrews 12:2 teaches us. That's the solution. Fix your eyes. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Then the fourth part, pay attention to prompts, instructions, ideas, signs. You know, Elijah was praying that rain will come down after they've had years of of drought, right? And famine. And the Bible says that he was praying. He was waiting. He was waiting. He will pray and send out his servant. He said, do what? Go and look. That is why scripture says, Jesus will say, watch and pray. Watch and pray. He says, go and look. He'll come back and didn't see anything. He continues praying. He sends him again. Go and look. He prayed. Sends him back again. The third time, he said, well, I see something. I see a cloud. Just about the size of a hand. That is it. That is it. That is it. He did not say, okay, let's wait for the clouds. He said, no, that is it. That is it. Why will he say that? Scriptures, Jesus will say, first the blade. When you plant into the ground, you don't just see the harvest, the full crop. He says, first the blade. If you are not able to identify the blade, you'll just be like, it didn't work. Oh, the seed died. First the blade, then the ear, then the corn. Hallelujah. So when you plant that seed, you just wait. And then you are watching. So planting is praying. And then you are watching actively. So waiting is not, well, we've done what we know to do. Everything is now for you, God. No, you are waiting actively. Remember, like I said, you are just consistently intertwining that rope. You are putting it together. You are there waiting actively, actively, actively. It says, that is it. That cloud you saw, that is it. Run, tell it how. Start going. The rain is about to drop. So when you are waiting, be sensitive to promptings from the Spirit. Be sensitive to instructions. There are scriptures that will jump at you that may not be what you are waiting on the Lord for. Do you understand? Probably you are praying for yourself and the Lord puts something in your heart to pray for another person or visit another person or call another person. Just something that is unrelated to what. See, those things don't. No, that's not what we are saying. That's not what we're waiting for. That's it. That's it. That's it. You're praying for healing. God says, just take enough water. Learn to hydrate yourself. You're like, only that? No, that's not it. I'm giving an example, right? Be sensitive to the promptings. Be sensitive to the sign. Be sensitive to what is happening. So that as soon as you see them, you can spot it. You can spot that. That's the hand of the Lord. That's the move of God's Spirit. That's the help of the Lord there. That's an answer. That's an order. You're not saying, no, I thought you were going to order for a goosey soup. Why order a fan soup? No, don't order. No, anything that is ordered, we just run with it. Anything that is ordered, we do what? We run with it. We run with it. Any idea, you're asking the Lord for what to do, an idea, and then suddenly it drops, and if it looks like a very small, insignificant idea. Because one day you think it has to be lofty. It has to be massive, big. It has to be this way, the way you know it. Then the idea drops. It's so insignificant. Like, almost, you can easily just look away from it, easily miss it. You are waiting for an order. Forget how the order comes. Take the order and run in obedience. The reason why people wait so long is that they're not listening for instruction. But the instruction they received didn't sound like what they were waiting for. And they didn't run with it. And they kept waiting while the answer has already come. So for us in TCC, who are trusting the Lord for a season to help us, you know, walk with him in the season he's brought us into, we will wait on him. We will receive his instructions. We will know exactly what he wants us to do. Most especially, we'll take the word of God and we keep putting the seed down in our hearts. We keep putting the seed down in our hearts until we produce 100. In the name of Jesus Christ, we will not lose heart. We will not lose faith. We will keep trusting. We keep our eyes stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep our eyes stayed on him because we know that if all things fail, he won't fail. If all things fail, he won't fail. And he is faithful. It is impossible for him to lie. So the words he has spoken to us, he will do it. He is faithful to bring them to pass. He is faithful to bring them to pass. Are there things you have swept under the carpet? Are there things you have said, Lord, I've done all things I know how to do. If you like, do. If you not, see those things, bring them up again and actively begin to wait. The good news is that waiting shapes you. Waiting takes unnecessary things away from you. It removes baggages from you. It removes things that should not be there. Waiting, in waiting, you get healed. In waiting, you get healed. You get healed. Your mind renewed. Your life transformed. Your life transformed. your life transformed. We will wait on the Lord our God. Say it to God. Say it to God. I will not run off trying to fix things by my strength. I will not run off trying to do things as I please or trying to. No, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you. I'll keep my heart fixed on you. Make that commitment to God this morning. Make that commitment to God this morning. Say, Lord, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will not waver in faith. 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 I will not be running around helter-skelter looking for help when I can trust you. When I can trust you. Lord, I will not trust in chariots. I will not join the rest of the people to trust in their horses. My trust is in the name of the Lord. Only you will I trust. You who is able to save me. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. We wait on you. We will wait. This morning, I pray for you that you receive grace to tarry. You will not give up. You will not give up in the name of Jesus. And yes, you are receiving answers to the long-standing questions in your heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, we uproot and cast down every plant the enemy has planted in your mind. Every seed the enemy you have imbibed, things you have heard, you've heard and you have meditated on them and have taken root to receive the answers you seek. You receive the peace, you receive the support you need, you receive the trust you need in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, you run and you are not weary, you walk and you do not faint, for the Holy Ghost empowers you. In the precious name of prayer, amen. Hallelujah.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.